Arcade 1-Up released a free update to their OutRun cabinet, and it didn't go as smoothly as planned. Plus, we talk about at least my favorite game of the year, hopefully yours too. Tonight is December 27th, 2020, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right. It's Sunday! You know what that means. It's another episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here on Twitch. Welcome. We tape this show live each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. That is where I try to read intelligent comments throughout the night. And you can be here. But if you can't be here on Sunday night, I completely understand. It is Sunday night. It's family time for a lot of people. You can join us in our Discord during the week, vognetwork.com/Discord. That's where we are throughout the week, trading news articles. You can stay up to date on some things, even influence some of the stuff that we're talking about on the show, and even get previews and spoilers for what might be talked about on the shows. So join us there, especially with 2021 coming up. You know, we're all counting down to New Year's Eve just so we can then celebrate December 32nd, 2020. Because if any year is going to have the extra 13th month that I believe it was Julius Caesar or something, there was one of the Roman emperors who wanted a 13th month, it would be 2020. It would just show up in 2020, be like, hey, it's an extra month in 2020. And that month is going to be a year long. Anyway, we want to be positive and stuff. We are going to look back a little bit at 2020 tonight. But thank you so much for being here. If this is your first podcast that you've listened to or first time live or the 740th time, because this is episode 740 of the show, thank you. Thank you for the time that you've given me, because your time is valuable, and I am glad that you spend an hour of it listening to me and being with our community if you are here live. I do want to start by giving yet one more reminder, because this is probably going to be the last podcast you'll hear of this show. You'll hear many other podcasts. That's not a threat. But the last episode of this show you'll hear before this event starts, because our next episode is after this event starts. But Awesome Games Done Quick 2021 is going to happen starting a week from tonight, which tonight is December 27th, so January 3rd. And it is it's a speedrunning marathon. Think of it like the Jerry Lewis telethons, where they would do these 24-hour telethons with variety skits and stuff to benefit some charity. You would call in, and I'm dating myself, I know, but you'd pick up this thing called a telephone, and you'd call in and you'd make a donation, and that would go, you know, you would then get entertained. Well, this is like that, except without Jerry Lewis, without telephones, and without variety acts, but it's all speedrunners. And it normally takes place in a big hotel ballroom. It's actually a week-long video game convention, really, outside of the streaming room. They've got arcades. They've got panels. It's like a convention. But obviously, it's not in person. And this year, it is once again going to be done completely online and virtual, even though I can tell you there is still a hotel ballroom involved. There's about 20 or so staff members that are there in person, so all the main tech stuff is being done in a hotel in Virginia, which is where Games Done Quick is located. But it's going to be online, featuring speedrunners from around the globe, and I am honored and fortunate enough to be a part of it. Again, I was a part of Summer Games Done Quick in a capacity of a host. So what the host does is the host is the person that reads the donations between the games. And then whenever there is a lull in the action, they read out donation comments during the game. So that's when, if you've ever watched a speed run on a Games Done Quick, the runner or couch would say, now's a great time for donations. Here's an auto scroller. And the host comes in and reads, we have a $50 donation from whatever. So I am that person, and I was that in a backup capacity back in August, but I am a full-time host, which means I get about 6 hours on the air. And so this year, I am going to be hosting 3 games during the week over at gamesdonequick.com or twitch.tv/gamesdonequick. So you can see speed runs for, that are all week. Spend all week watching it. That's cool. I'm going to. It'll also get me away from watching TV ads in Georgia on January 3rd and 4th and 5th, which I hope I don't need to explain why I'd want to get away from anything showing me ads. I'm already ready to get away from anything showing me ads because I live in Georgia. But on Wednesday, January 6th, starting at about 6 p.m. Eastern or 3 p.m. Pacific, these times will change, maybe be an hour behind, maybe be ahead. But 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be hosting Devil May Cry 3 Special Edition, Virgil new game with the Virgil character, which is not Dante, it's Virgil. It's being run by Waifu Runs, and it's going to last about an hour. I hosted Devil May Cry 4 with Mecharazium at SGDQ. And that community liked me, so I get to do DMC3 this year. But then right after that, starting a little bit after 7 o'clock Eastern, it's about the Devil May Cry 3 takes about an hour to get through, and then there's a little setup time. Calco 2 is going to be running Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island, which is a 100%. So he's going to one. It's not any percent. It's 100%. It's everything. It's going to estimate there is about 2 hours and 42 minutes, which they try to make the estimate about 10 minutes more than what they normally do. That way there's a little bit of padding in there. So it's probably like a 2.5 hour game. But I'm going to be hosting those. Those are on Wednesday night back to back. The thing about that, though, is I want to let you know that the bonus game incentive on Wednesday night is Zelda Wand of Gamelon, all cutscenes for the CDI. It's amazing. It's brilliant, but I don't know how much we're going to have to raise to get to it. But that game is actually, it's not immediately after my little block because the Skyward Sword is right after. But then Wand of Gamelon, all cutscenes for the CDI. So I'm going to be pushing that. And if you're wondering what the host choice is, if you donate during those runs, it's going to be towards Wand of Gamelon. All cutscenes. And I'll tell you how you can, in a second, once I get through this, I will tell you how to let me know that it's you donating. But that's not it. That's just Wednesday night. Then Friday night, prime time, a little bit after 10 p.m. Eastern or 7 p.m. Pacific. Like I said, these times can change. I think last year everything was about an hour behind. Once those things got through, Froob is going to be running Yakuza 6, The Song of Life, any percent. This is a 2.5 hour, so it's estimated 2 hours and 38 minutes. It's a 2.5 hour run. And funny story, it was originally 2 hours and 50 minutes, but it turns out if you use the PlayStation 5, you cut out 15 minutes out of the run. So I'm going to be hosting that, and one of the things that I was actually told is that a lot of those slots go to people that are comfortable with pushing incentives, because that's coming up to the last day of Games Done Quick, and they're going to have huge incentives that they're going to be pushing, especially on Friday night. So they actually kind of reserve like the last day and the night before the end for people they consider veterans. So I've done one whole game, and they consider me a veteran and gave me the Friday night slot. So I am very excited and honored. The Breakman asks, does Link ever get a kiss from Princess Zelda? Which what you're going to have to do to find out is on Wednesday, January 6th, you're going to have to donate to the Prevent Cancer Foundation over at GamesDoneQuick.com and make sure that you select the incentive for Wand of Gamelon, all cutscenes on the CDI. That's what you're going to have to do to find out if Link ever gets a kiss from Princess Zelda. I can tell you that Link wants to eat Octoroks and he wants to bomb Dodongos. But if you want to know if he gets a kiss, you're going to have to make sure that Wand of Gamelon meets its incentive goal on Wednesday night. If you do donate while I am on stream, I cannot guarantee that I'm going to reach your donation. It is about the runner. This is about the charity. It's about the game. It is not about the host. In fact, I have a very strict no self-promotion edict, which also was the last time, which also means if you donate and say, I'm so-and-so from the VOG Network, I love your podcast, I can't read it. Or I have to actually edit it because maybe somebody else can read that portion. I can't because that would be seen as self-promotion. I'm allowed to say my name and that's it. I'm not allowed to say, please follow me on Twitter. I'm not allowed to say what my Twitch stream is. I'm not allowed to say any of that stuff because it's not about me. And that is perfectly fine. I am honored to be there and I want to continue to be there. And I eventually want to be there when they're actually in person, so I can meet these people in person. Questbuster says, Froob, who is doing the Yakuza run, is great. He did an ESA run with crowd control incentives, like wearing a sombrero during the run or not saying a certain word through his commentary, which was interesting. I don't know if AGDQ is doing those kind of incentives, but he's definitely comfortable from what I've watched in the past. The incentives, I do not think, are up yet. I am actually... I've got a little tracker thing that I can check. The prizes have been entered, but I don't think the actual incentives have... the incentives have not been loaded yet, which is basically that's the, choose a file name or save the animals or save the frames or, play a bonus game or do a bonus showcase. Those, they have been approved, but they haven't been put on the public tracker, so I don't know what they are yet. That is, that's some of the stuff that we get to have fun with and stuff. So I am looking forward to those. Next Sunday, I'll know what those incentives are going to be for the various games. I can tell you that the Wanda Gamelon incentive, the bonus games don't open, for bidding until the about 24 hours beforehand. So you're going to have to wait until Wednesday to donate for Wand of Gamelon. I hope you do, because I want to experience that. Questver says, if it's Yakuza, a karaoke incentive might be possible. I don't know. We will see. It's going to be a lot of fun. So GamesDoneQuick.com is where you can find more information about that. Every single dollar that you donate goes directly to the charity. It goes directly to Prevent Cancer Foundation. When you donate, it actually goes to their site. Games Done Quick doesn't see any of it. But also on Twitch, all revenue that Games Done Quick gets from subscriptions and bits, is even your Prime gaming subscription, the revenue also goes to the charity. Not the entire thing, because Twitch takes their cut and Twitch doesn't donate that part to charity. But all the revenue that Games Done Quick would get goes to the charity throughout the entire month of January on their Twitch channel. So... Breakman says, I'm not drunk enough to watch people do karaoke. Well, it's going to be Friday night, so you got time. That's all I'm saying. And the Breakman says, Octoroks do not sound appetizing. Well, when you're really hungry, you could eat one. Let's move on. So this week, actually, this happened last week. Right after I went off the air last Sunday night, a YouTube comment came on a video that we had posted about Arcade 1-Up and about the OutRun cabinet that I built. And this comment was from Kirby Dinobot, which is an awesome name, says OutRun now has 5 games. Because I had actually talked about how it has, and I showed off the 4 games. And he's like, this has 5 games now. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about, Kirby Dinobot? So I went and looked, and sure enough, last Sunday, Arcade 1-Up said, We have a firmware upgrade. It is great. A firmware upgrade for the Arcade 1-Up Outrun cabinet that adds a fifth game. And Pod Culture is going to be like, yes, it's Spy Hunter. No, it's not Spy Hunter, because Spy Hunter was not a Sega game, and this has to be a Sega game. So I was like, awesome. And so I was like, great. So what do I need to do? Because I did notice there was a USB port when I was putting together the cabinet. Here's where it went south. So the first thing that you have to realize is that it is a micro USB port, which is USB type B. USB type A is the big one. That's the one that you have ports on your computer for or stuff like that. USB type C is what your phone has nowadays. If you don't have, you know, an Apple product, if you have a, you know, a product that, like the rest of us that can't afford Apple products, it's USB type C is what you have now. But Arcade 1-Up wants USB type B, and the instructions are it needs to be a USB stick. So me, I went to Best Buy, and I was like, I need to get a USB stick that works with micro USB. And I look and I don't see it, but I found it like on their app. On the app, I'm like, oh, they've got like three available here. So I'm just, you know, going to go in here and pick one up. It's not on the shelf. And then I talk to somebody and I'm like, I am looking for, they make these USB sticks that have a micro USB out as well as a regular USB out. And he's like, he looks and it turns out like the one they had, somebody had just reserved online earlier and it wasn't me. So maybe it was somebody else that had an Arcade 1-Up Outrun cabinet that needed to get this USB stick. And then he took me over to the mobile phone section. He pulled out this cord and he's like, look, sir, all you need to do is you plug this end into your computer and you plug this end in your phone and you're going to be able to drag and drop whatever you need to your phone. And I looked at it and I looked at him and I'm like, well, that's not going to work. He's like, no, I promise you it's going to work. And so I told him, no, I am out updating an Arcade 1-Up arcade cabinet that needs a firmware upgrade, which is you put a bin file on a FAT32 formatted USB stick and you stick it in the machine and then it upgrades it, but it needs to be a micro USB and not a regular USB. And he looked at me and he said, I have no clue what you just said, but if you don't think this is going to work for you, then I'm afraid I can't help you. And it just totally blew his mind what I was talking about. Like I was talking like in a foreign language or something. But he did say, go up to the Staples because they deal with more ancient technology. So I went over to the Staples because, you know, they sometimes work with stuff that's a little bit older. And I did find the last dual USB stick, micro B and USB type A, 32 gig in the area. And so what it actually has is it's got a little cover here, but one side is the USB type A, and on the other side is the micro USB. So that so I finally got this thing, and it's really tiny, but it is obviously, you know, it's got to have the width for the regular USB as well as the micro USB. And so I got it in, and it was already formatted for FAT32, so I just dragged the 8-megabyte bin file to the root directory, and I was like, great. Time to go, right? Fifth Dream said, I would have just gotten an adapter. Well, guess what? They didn't have those because it's micro USB, and they don't... Best Buy doesn't deal with micro USB anymore. Everything's USB type C. If it was USB type C, I would have been fine. So that should be easy, right? Because the instructions are just insert it and go, right? Well, let's see how that worked out. So here I am in the video, and this is going to be posted to YouTube. So hello, YouTube, pulling the seat out and putting the the pedals on inside. And if you're watching on the video, you're going to notice like there's a screw down on the carpet that's actually from the underside of the seat. And I didn't see it until I was putting everything back. I thought it had fallen off like at the very end. But no, it's actually just sitting there the whole time. And I didn't see it until I was editing this video. But here I am unplugging the cabinet from the wall and unscrewing the back, the kind of the brown portion that kind of hides the electronics. And it has some vents and stuff like that. And here I am pulling it out. So the instructions are you put the USB stick into the cabinet. Well, there's a problem here. Because I bought a USB stick that's wide enough to be a USB type A, it didn't exactly want to fit in. Because they put the micro USB port right next to the power port. I even try, like, I unplug the power cord, and then I can get the USB stick in, I think. And then, but I can't plug the power port back in, because the USB stick is covering up where the power port would go in. Because I don't know why. I don't know why. I was finally able to get things to fit, kind of. And I pull the stick back out, and I try to put it back in. I try to put them in a different thing. And PodCulture says, hot knife and trim the excess plastic off. I don't want to deal with hot stuff. I'm not a modder. I'm not like that. But I finally kind of get it in, and I'm like, oh, I think it's secure. But no, it's kind of at an angle. And I'm like, this kind of sucks. So, you know, after this, you know, hunt for this unicorn of a USB stick, and the port's just way too close to get anything in, but at the same time. So I think I get it in, but you can kind of see in the video, it's kind of, you know, at an angle. So I turn around, reposition the camera, and I turn on the cabinet. From everything I see on the internet, it doesn't actually give you any kind of visual indication that you've done it right or anything like that. So you just turn it on. And if it worked, then you're going to have a fifth game on your OutRun cabinet that initially had four games. And the first time I did it, there's only four games. So I, off camera, I'm not taking the camera back and forth. I go back and I, you know, try to, you know, take it out and put it back in and, you know, all that stuff. So attempt number two comes up and nothing happens. It goes back to the main menu. And I'm like, okay, third time is the charm. So I go back behind. I, you know, try to get things a little bit more straight, whatever. And I'm like, third time's the charm, right? Because I've done everything right. It's a FAT32 formatted USB stick. There's nothing else on it. The bin file's in the root directory. It should just work. And Zen Monkey says you need to hook it up to a clock tower in the middle of a thunderstorm. No, but I did tweet. I did actually make a tweet after the third attempt saying, so far, no good. And, you know, so always after the tweet, you try one more time. Because really, tweeting about the problem and being angry about the problem, for some reason, actually does some good. And even Fifth Dream says, this is where cursing loudly solves everything. I gotta say, somehow, the 1.21 gigawatts of frustration that Crustbuster says in chat gave me my fifth game. I am so excited. Now I finally have the fifth game. So, how do you know if it worked? If you have this cabinet, what you're going to notice, there is one little visual indication. And that is that the black screen after the copyright on the Arcade 1-Up copyright that comes up stays black for just a couple of seconds longer than if you do not have the USB stick attached. It takes about 4 or 5 seconds to actually install the firmware. Then you can take it right back out, take the stick back out, put everything together. You don't need to keep the USB stick in there, but you can see I finally got it in. So now I've got this in, and I'm going to actually turn down the volume a little bit. But the settings screen for Rad Rally, which is the new game, they have several different Bobby Black Wolf modes available. First thing I do is I'll turn the scan lines off, but the difficulty goes from 1 to 16. It defaults at 8. So Bobby Black Wolf put it at 1. He turns the scan lines off because I don't like scan lines. Some people might. The transmission, you can have manual or automatic, but it's just a 2-speed, so it's pretty easy. And it also has the gear indicator that's put up on the screen. And the timer, you can set anywhere from 65 seconds to 85 seconds. It defaults to 75. So obviously, I set it to 85 seconds because I'm me and I don't got time for that. So Rad Rally, it's the sequel to Rad Mobile. And I think the reason they didn't use Rad Mobile for this is because it has like a Sonic the Hedgehog thing. And that license is expensive. More expensive than the OutRun license. And Arcade Runner probably didn't want to have to pay for the Sonic the Hedgehog license to have Rad Mobile. So, Rad Rally is a point-to-point race with two checkpoints in between. So there's three legs, and that's it. And it's in a first-person perspective, and you're racing. And you're not even racing. You're racing the clock. You're racing the timer. And it's, can you get to the next leg before the time runs out? And it takes about 3 minutes to complete a course if you're good and not like me hitting the sides over and over again. But there's other traffic on the screen, so there's cars going with you. There's cars on the other side of the road going against you. You really don't want to hit them. And then there's a car marked special that I see here. Now, this is what we're actually seeing here is the first time I'm playing the game. But I noticed that because of my difficulty level, I can catch up to that special car. And then he gets super aggressive. He turns into that super aggressive drivatar that you're used to with Forza Horizon. That's what he turns into. He or she. It could be a she in there. But there's a lot of rubber band AI, but it might be because of the difficulty setting. And then if you hit a car coming at you, you crash, and then you get to start over again. Breakman says, LOL, Bobby can't drive Wolf. That's right. Orange Wright says, if I recall correctly, Rad Mobile also had windshield buttons. Not sure if this game cabinet had it. The arcade one-up, it doesn't, even though there are unused buttons. It has the little music selection button, which, notice, there's no music. All you're hearing, this is it. The music is on the main menu and on, or not on the selection, the track selection, and then like in the cutscene at the very end. But there's no music while you're playing. So, but this is the game. So there's rubber band AI with the special car, but that might be because I'm at difficulty 1 out of 16 instead of 8. But I can catch up to him just fine. And then he basically starts crashing into me, and he won't stay behind me, and it's terrible. It's rubber banding until I get up to him, and then it's like, okay, now I'm going to hurt you. And he'll knock you into other traffic and stuff like that. So there are four different courses. This is, I believe, the sunset course, but they've got one that takes place in snow, one that takes place at night, and one that takes place in the rain. And the course changes for each leg, so like it'll be actually snowing for one leg, but not for the next. But this is Rad Rally. This is basically it. It's a point-to-point race. You're kind of facing that special person, and I bet something cool happens if you beat the special car. But I'm never going to beat the special car. Podculture asks, does the Star Wars cabinet have a USB port? I forget. It does not. The USB port is a new addition to this. I believe the most recent Pac-Man cabinet has it, because there also has been a firmware upgrade for the 40th anniversary Pac-Man arcade one-up. But I don't, and I think some of the others have it too. I think all the recent ones do, but not the Star Wars one. I know that. So don't expect a firmware update for that, but you could always just mod it. People have modded it and put a Raspberry Pi in there, and then you don't need an official upgrade. I don't upgrade my cabinets. I am perfectly fine with having the stock cabinets or whatever official upgrades come out. I'm not interested in hacking these. So in this video, I run out of time. Game over. The cop comes up, and he's mad at you. What's the big idea? He smashes the hood of your car. It's not that great. Now, I did actually beat it and actually make it to the end. And this little cutscene shows saying you can't catch him. Yeah, we'll never catch him, will we? And I think that's the special car talking to you. That, and we have the Statue of Liberty for whatever reason. I guess because it takes place in New York. I don't know. So, that is Rad Rally. It's not as fun as the other ones, but I love the fact that we got a free game. And I know it's not Spy Hunter. I'm sorry. But that upgrade process is crappy. I think I would have been better off finding the cable that had a micro USB male with a USB type A female so I could plug in a USB stick into the one side and then use the cable, which would not interfere. It wouldn't be too wide and it wouldn't interfere with anything anyway. So Esther and Matt says, seems like a fine throw-in game for test of a service. And I'm good with that. I will say, I believe the NBA Jam cabinet is actually Wi-Fi enabled because you can play that one online. So I believe it gets firmware updates over the air with Wi-Fi. But this one, since they didn't put the Wi-Fi in it because that costs money, they did the USB thing. But I really wish it was a regular USB port and it wasn't so close to the power port. That would have made it a whole lot easier to upgrade, a whole lot less frustrating. It took me 4 tries to get the USB stick to have a good enough of a connection to be able to upgrade because I happen to get a USB stick that's a little bit wider. And I'm not going to sit here and Dremel a USB stick like some people probably think I should because I don't care that much. Questor says, today I learned that Staples has replaced Radio Shack. Maybe if I had like a Fry's. I mean, I do have a Micro Center near me, but I think what they were, kind of saying is that the Staples, they deal with customers that still have micro USB phones, and they did. And this was literally like the last one on the shelf. So thank you, Staples, for the easy button. I wish this was as easy as the easy button, but it'll do. The Breakman's asks, anyone have a Micro Center near them? I mean, I actually have 2 near me, and I have learned, this is not about the Arcade 1-Up, and in fact, the YouTube video is already done. This part's not even going on YouTube. But I learned if I want to show up at like 7 a.m. on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, I could get myself an RTX 3080 really easily. They're getting new ones every single week. And if you're there early enough, you can buy one. And I believe Micro Center's actually done something nice now where they actually like take your information and you can't buy another RTX 3080 for 30 days from any Micro Center if you buy one at Micro Center. So because it's one per customer, and what people were doing is they were going every morning and buying one every single day. And so now they actually like cap it to one every 30 days. So if I really wanted to get an RTX 3080, I'd wake up and go to a Micro Center. People camp out still every week to get one. Breakman says, that's where I used to buy all my parts when I build systems. Yeah, no, I mean, I live in Atlanta, so there's actually 2. I'm kind of in between 2 of them. There's also a Fry's near me, but poor Fry's. Fry's Electronics has really gone downhill in the past couple years. I'm surprised. One of ours closed. We used to have 2, but one closed, but the one that's near me is still open, barely. So let us look back here at 2020, and I want to talk about my game of the year, or games of the year, which are not, I didn't play Last of Us Part 2, so you're not going to see that. I didn't play Ghost of Tsushima, which I didn't see that. But I want to talk about some of the games that I really enjoyed playing here in 2020. So I'm not really going to say, like, this is my game of the year, this is the best game of the year, but these are my favorite games of the year. And I wanted to start off with a hidden gem of the year because I never actually talked about this game on the show, I don't think. And this game, it's a style of game that I actually really enjoy. And this was a nice departure for this style of game. And it is called Murder by Numbers. It is by Mediatonic. Have you heard of Mediatonic? You probably have, because the game that came out that they made after this was called Fall Guys. This is the game they made before Fall Guys. And the game they made before this was this game called Hatoful Boyfriend. So what this is, Murder by Numbers, is a visual novel of a crime, a crime investigator, except you're using Picross or nonograms, but Picross is the Nintendo branded name of it. But it's nonograms to find evidence. And the great thing about it, and I'm going to unmute this for a second, is the music is by the person who did Ace Attorney. I love the music in this. I apologize, it's a little bit too loud. But I love the music in this game. And, but it's a visual novel. It's kind of cute. Hatomoa, who is the, Hatomoa, who created Hatoful Boyfriend, all the characters in that, did the character creation. The composer of Ace Attorney did the music. It's amazing. So that is my hidden gem of the year. It's available on PC and Switch. I played it on the Nintendo Switch. But it is on Steam. And it's Picross nonograms with a little cute story attached, and it's a nice little story, and I really enjoyed it. So that's my hidden gem. And it's not even that expensive. And then they went on to make this little game called Fall Guys after Murder by Numbers. But if you don't like Picross, if you don't like nonograms, you're not gonna like this game. So it's not going to change your mind, but if you do like that type of game, this one's cute. And Questbuster says it is 33% off of Steam on Steam right now because Steam's in the middle of their sale. The Breakman says, does Angela Lansbury show up to save the day? No, we don't. You are the one who saves the day. It is you. And your name is Honor. The main character's name is actually Honor. Now let's talk about my favorite game of the year. So this is the game that I played most and I enjoyed the most. And the sad part is it's really not a game that came out this year, but this is the version that came out this year. And I understand that this is probably a safe pick, but Persona 5 Royal is the game that basically got me through April and May. Because this game came out right at the end of March. It came out a little bit before Final Fantasy VII Remake. And I played through Final Fantasy VII Remake, but then I picked this game up. I had played a little bit of Persona 5 when it came out. I got about 13 hours in, cleared the first dungeon, basically, and then stopped. Because I think then I moved and got married and, you know, my life, and I couldn't devote to a long JRPG. But this, I spent 120 hours playing Persona 5 Royal, which is more than just DLC. They did a lot of quality of life improvements during the game as well. It's a completely different game. Even the stuff that they didn't add, they just changed and made things a lot better. And it was a lot more fun to play than the original one was. And the original one was fun to play. So I think they did a really good job with this. I understand people were kind of cheesed about having to pay $60 again for a game that they already paid $60 for, just to have like an extra month, an extra dungeon, an extra character, when they're like, can't that just be DLC? They changed so much in this that no, it couldn't just be DLC. So Questbush says, Persona 5 is easily one of my favorite RPGs in the past few years. This is my favorite JRPG of the past few years. And I am glad that I got all the way through in this version. And it's absolutely worth it if you're willing to take the time investment. Like I said, it took me about 120 hours to go through Persona 5 Royal. I believe Persona 5, the base game, is about 85, 90 hours. So the last 30 hours was the new content. But And Dark Soccer says, I may get this. I haven't played a Shin Megami Tensei since Soul Hackers on Saturn. So the this is Shin Megami Tensei. It's in that world. But this is kind of... Persona is more the... I don't want to say casual spinoff of Shin Megami Tensei, but that's probably the easiest word I can come up with on the spot. Because people who love the Shin Megami Tensei series... They're like, oh, Persona's so basic. That's what all the weebs play or whatever. I don't know. But there is still some deep mechanics with the different Personas and stuff. But it is not as hardcore as the mainline Shin Megami Tensei series. But it's great. It's good to love both. But I am more of a Persona person, just like I'm more of a Forza Horizon person than Forza Motorsport. But I still have love for both. Dark Soccer says, I have two copies of Soul Hackers if someone wants it. And he asks if I want, and she asked if I want it. Sure, because I have a Saturn. It doesn't get much use, but it absolutely does work. And Podcoach says he has it. He has a Saturn, but he can't find the hookups for it. No, mine actually has all the hookups, and it works, and all that stuff. I haven't given my Saturn that much love. I wish I need to give my Saturn more love. And one last comment, because Quest Special says something about Royal. I'm tempted to get Persona 5 Royal to go through it again, but it's definitely a huge investment. But the cool thing is that the time spent in it doesn't seem like padding or fluff. Yeah, it always felt like I was moving along. It always felt I was moving along in Persona 5 Royal. But I know people want me to talk a little bit about PS4, or not PS4, VR. PSVR, not on any of these games. But let's talk a little bit about VR. And so there's a game of the year that I'm going to give. I'm going to give two game of the year. One that I really didn't play and one that I did. Because there's a game that I really should talk about as a favorite VR game. And it's a favorite VR game that I didn't really play. But that doesn't mean that it shouldn't get its kudos. And that's Half-Life Alyx. Because it's a shooter with jump scares. But the way that they made a VR game and made it work... with the technology that Valve was creating, with the Valve Index and the Knuckles controllers, this changed the narrative on VR games. And Valve did the smart thing by making Half-Life 3 and not calling it Half-Life 3 because it never could live up to the hype of Half-Life 3. People like Half-Life Alyx because it's not Half-Life 3, but I'm going to tell you, it's totally Half-Life 3. This is supposed to be Half-Life 3, but they learned, you know, they had a time machine and saw Cyberpunk 2077's reaction that there is no way they could live up to the hype of a Half-Life 3. So this is it. But the way that it does a lot of the stuff that you can only do in VR was very impressive to me. It was Jeff Keighley's game of the year, personal game of the year, for instance. Wasn't even nominated in his game awards because he doesn't have a say in it, but it was his personal game of the year. GameSpot gave it their full-on game of the year. So I don't do the full-on game of the year, but I do the games that that were my favorite ones that I played. But I want to give a special nod to Half-Life Alyx because this was a very, very important game in the VR space, and it was one that we super, super needed. The Breakman asks, does Alyx at least say something? Yeah, she talks the whole time. She's not a silent protagonist. You have full-on conversations. You don't get to choose the conversations, but yeah, you have full-on conversations with people. And they look at you while you're looking at them and stuff like that. But the favorite VR game that I did play this year, because Tetris Effect was last year, and Beat Saber and Autico were years before. But this year, my favorite VR game I did play is a AAA title, but it was really wonderful to play in VR. Star Wars Squadrons, which is not a $60 title, but it is this decade's X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. And once I got used to the controls, and I still, to this day, want to get like a real flight stick and enjoy this again, but flight sticks are just about as hard to find right now as RTX 3080s between this and Flight Simulator 2020. But I really enjoyed playing this in VR. I did not complete it, but I really enjoyed playing the single player and playing this in VR once I figured out the controls on the Xbox controller, which is what I used. And I am so glad that EA, even though I know EA does a lot of things we don't like, There are certain things they do really well, and they took a chance and built a game for VR, released it for flat screens as well, and it's a great game on flat screens as well. But in VR, there's nothing like this, and this is the dream of a lot of people who grew up on Star Wars, is they want to be an X-Wing pilot, or they want to be a TIE Fighter pilot. You can be both in this. And this does it really well. And some of the ways they present the narrative, when I actually showed playing the game before, I actually talked about some of the things they did that I thought was kind of weird until I realized what they were doing, and it was to not use as many cutscenes as they could have. So this was really worth the price of admission, and it is on PlayStation 4, PlayStation VR. So if you have a PS5 with PlayStation VR, it'll run through the PlayStation 4 backwards compatibility. But I was so glad that this came out and that this was as good as it was. So those were my games of the year, my favorite games of the year. Quespa says the single player campaign was really well done, still not as expansive as the ones from the 90s, like X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, but really well done, especially at the price point it was selling at. Yeah, it was at $40. SJ Matt says, on VR Talk, apparently the Oculus Quest 2 had great holiday sales this year because folks couldn't get a PlayStation 5 or Series X, but parents who bought them for their kids have found that they need a valid Facebook account, which kids under 13 can't get. Apparently Oculus made it against the rules for people to share accounts. That is correct. The Oculus Quest 2 is a wonderful piece of hardware. It is a wonderful device, wonderful piece of hardware. My big hang-up about the Oculus Quest 2 is the requirement of a Facebook account that is valid. And they can and will, if Facebook shuts down your account for whatever reason and you lose your appeal, you lose access to your Oculus Quest 2. I do believe there are people that have put that have hacked it and sideloaded a different bootloader because it is kind of an Android device underneath. I believe they have done that to where you don't need a Facebook account. So I believe that is now an option for the technically inclined. But the fact that you need a valid Facebook account, and I have a valid Facebook account, so I mean, it's not even a personal thing for me. It's more about the principle of thing. But the fact that you need one, and if you've ever been banned on Facebook, or even if you get timed out on Facebook, you might actually lose access to your Oculus device. And I think that's wrong. And Tiger Claw thinks they're getting sued, maybe. But don't put too much stock in just random stuff, random things in chat. I'd have to see an actual article on that. And Zen Monkey says, time to have a Quest vanilla and a hacked Quest. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, a lot of this great stuff on the Oculus Quest is stuff that's built for it, which you can only get off the Oculus store. So I think you just have to sideload everything or just use the Oculus Link cable. People have found, okay, yeah, so the FTC, well, that's about the Facebook illegal monopolization. So there's some links coming in chat from FTC.gov and, stuff. And then Road to VR has a story about the Facebook account required for you have to be at least 13 years old or older. So there's a lot of gray area on that stuff. And it was a lot better when you just need an Oculus account, which is how it used to be until the Quest 2 came out. Zen Monkey says, I want my Oculus Quest 2 to run with MySpace. Well, I'm sure Tom would love that too. So normally I do a music break, but I went another 50 minutes with only one real story. So I like to talk. So that's 2020 for you. I get to talk all the way over my music breaks. We'll do those again at some point. I will someday learn to have one less thing to talk about. And we also usually take calls as well. I do not see anybody in the green room, so I'm going to skip on that just for this week. But Rob says he's AFK. So you know what we're going to do? If Rob is AFK, we're going to do the music break. Because I've been holding on to this music break all month because it's December. This is the last time I can do the music break. We play a song from Overclock Remix in December. I play winter holiday themed songs. So we're going to do a music break and we'll be right back. Your podcast, you won't hear the music break. You're just going to hear some scratches and we'll be right back. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Wait, you don't know Kamoshida? Are you for real? For real? For real? For real? What up, everybody? This is Max Mittleman, voice of Saitama and One Punch Man, Ryuji in Persona 5, King in Seven Deadly Sins, and a whole host of other characters. You are participating in the Bobby Black Wolf Show. Get it! For real? For real? For real? For real? For real?
For real? That's right. Ryuji from my favorite game of the year did a bumper, as did Adachi from my favorite game of the year. So yeah, that was for real. It's game of the year for real. All right. Now, thanks so much for being here for all of 2020. But coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them and see what's going on with them here at the end of this year. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here now, Bobby. Thanks.
Hey, you're welcome. Hey, I got to put in a Saturn game. We did a music break anyway, so it worked out. I finally
Perfect.
Got to play it. I've been sitting on that music break.
I can step away. Bobby usually runs long.
Yeah. I've been sitting on that music break for like 4 weeks because it's the Christmas night.
I'm glad you got to get it out.
Yeah.
It's good.
So tonight was mainly a night of reflection for me with my favorite games of the year. Is that kind of some of the stuff we're going to be hearing from y'all tonight?
Actually, I think we'll probably save the games of the year talk for next week, although it's going to be a weird one, I think. I feel like mm-hmm. my plate isn't as full and my decisions aren't as heavy as they've been in years past. Although I find as I play new things, because I did play a new game this week that was a really big game for some people. I'll kind of leave it at that. It kind of got mixed reviews. As I play new games, I might find something where I'm like, ooh, I really should put this in my top three. But as of right now, I think my top three is pretty set, and it wasn't like a lot of contests this year compared to previous years. And I think that's just the nature of, you know, Nintendo didn't really have a big holiday release. I mean, sure, they had Animal Crossing, but that was last holiday's release.
Yes.
Then pushed back to March, right? So obviously things have been a little weird at Nintendo's world. And, you know, there's been some good games. And I think one thing that it ends up kind of being a theme, I think, this year is that a lot of indies and smaller games really got a chance to shine. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, of course, Last of Us Part 2 was a big chatter at the Game Awards. But, mm-hmm. you know, what else got a lot of chatter this year was Among Us. And mm-hmm. sure, we can nickel and dime the whole fact it was a 2018 game. But if you're going to go by, you know, when did it really take the internet by storm, it's kind of a this year game. You know, something like Hades, of course, is getting a lot of you know, movement and things. So on. There's a lot of indie games that have really risen up this year amongst all the you know, disruption in the industry due to COVID.
Yeah, no, it's my game of the year probably was because I had all the, you know, the lockdown and had to stay home. Like, that's probably why Persona 5 Royal got my favorite game of the year. If this was a normal year, it probably wouldn't have gotten it. It might have been Final Fantasy VII or, you know, the remake or, you know, something along those lines. It might not have been Persona 5, but the fact that it was, and I got to point out, nobody actually saw this but on stream, but I fell off the wagon, and my wife did get me an amiibo for the first time in years because... of the Persona, so I do have the Joker amiibo. It's the first new amiibo I've gotten in like 5 years or something.
Okay.
So I liked it so much, I have an amiibo. I got back on the amiibos, even though, like, I don't even know if Nintendo really uses amiibos anymore. It's kind of sad.
I can't think of where they're used outside of Smash Brothers at this point.
I mean, I know, like, some of the early Switch games, like the amiibo, like, and Super Mario Odyssey, like, Breath of the Wild and Super Mario Odyssey used them. Because they would give you, like, items or something, like, once a day. And actually, Super Mario Odyssey, the Peach amiibo gave you, like, refilled your life. So I abused that one because whenever didn't you
always get you all the outfits early, like didn't you use the Peach Amiibo to get the wedding outfit or something? It's been a little bit now.
We had bought the wedding Amiibos because those were the specific Amiibo. We bought the three pack because those came out right before our wedding, so I'm pretty sure we used them in our like wedding stuff. So that's the last time we've gotten Amiibo. But yeah, those gave you the wedding outfits if you use them. But like nothing else really uses Age of Calamity, according to ActDef, uses it. Animal Crossing uses the Amiibo.
Oh, sure, of course. Yeah, of course, Animal Crossing in the photo studio. Yeah, because they had all the cards are actually get used there, which, you know, haven't been used for a while. So it's true.
But they're selling the cards again because I saw them. Like they're made more of them and stuff. So, yeah, but not the Joker. I can't bring Joker into my Animal Crossing island. That would get me to get back in Animal Crossing. I haven't opened it since July.
It would be fun if they would put some of the other characters in there, but we'll see. I mean, you know, with Animal Crossing having become quite the cultural phenomenon that it did this year, I would foresee that its life cycle is probably going to go a little longer than the usual Animal Crossing games, especially with, you know, Nintendo's kind of weaker holiday lineup this year compared to most years. I mean, sure, they've got, you know, the Mario 3D Land or whatever it is, that remake is coming out soon and so forth. But it's been a somewhat weaker holiday for them as far as AAA releases go. So I would not be surprised at all. I mean, it hasn't hurt their sales. It's not shady. It's just, you know, there just hasn't been that huge game right now. So I think Animal Crossing is going to kind of still sustain them for a little while, probably all the way to next holiday. And they'll do that through more frequent releases and or updates and things of that sort. Whereas I think in the old games, we weren't really used to that. So we'll see what happens.
But I will say I am looking forward to finally playing at some point in 2021 a game for the PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X, because so far I haven't played a game made for it, except for like Astro's Playroom on the PlayStation. That's the only one.
Yeah, you know, I've played the Enhanced for Xbox X. Which, you know, I talked about No Man's Sky a lot, of course, which looks great. Destiny 2 was another one recently that got its official Xbox X upgrade, and it looks really good. But yeah, nothing designed specifically for that system yet.
Yeah.
But then, of course, in the Xbox universe, nothing is supposed to be yet.
And I look forward to the day that something is, because that's what I want to see. That's what I'm looking forward to playing. So what else are y'all going to be talking about here on what we think could be the last episode of 2020? You never know. We might get a 13th month of 2020.
March might keep going. It's obviously a little thinner in news this week with the holidays having been this week, but it's still a little more than your usual holiday week. So we had some big updates concerning Halo and the future of the Halo franchise. Nothing to do with the new games, talking about the old games and the support for the Xbox 360 versions of Halo going away in the future. So we'll talk a little bit about Microsoft's plan for that and why they're doing it, and we'll get into that. Also, this has been a meme-tastic thing in gaming news this week. KFC is entering the console wars, and they're doing it just so that everybody will talk about it like we're doing now, I think. But it is kind of funny, and you know what? In the year 2020, we could all use a laugh. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. And plenty more for a holiday week.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Have a safe and happy new year, and have a good show tonight.
Are you here next week? I missed the beginning. Are you here next week because of AGDQ?
Yeah, since I'm not working on Sunday night, yes. Actually, what sucks, funny story, is because I talked to the person who did the schedules, and there was some talk between me and one of the other runners, who's also named Bobby, that we should do a Bobby block, where like I'm the host, he's the runner, there's another runner who's named the Blacktastic, is what he's known as, but his name is also Bobby. And like maybe have him on commentary, and the joke was like we'd play like Bobby's World for the Super Nintendo, and it'd just be a whole meme thing. But Bobby Berm is the runner's name. His run is on Sunday night, and the only time I blocked off on the entire week, because I'm like I will work 5 in the morning, I don't care. The only time I blocked off was from on Eastern from 7 p.m. to midnight on Sunday night. It's the only time I blocked off.
It's just not meant to be this time, but when GDQ can be done in person, then all the Bobbies can be together.
Yes, and then we will have the Bobby block. They totally wanted to do it for the memes, but it just didn't work this time. Like, that's fine. I'm going to keep auditioning. So, you know, we'll make it work eventually. Just have all the Bobbies be a part of it. Bobby is a host. Bobby the runner. Bobby's on the couch playing Bobby's World for. He wasn't running Bobby's World for Super Nintendo, but he said, "I'll learn the speed run, and we'll make this happen." So,
I mean, technically, I'm not Bobby. I don't go by Bobby, but my grandpa, who is also named Robert, did go by Bob. All so. Right.
But and if people do donate during the block, I think I was supposed to mention this earlier and then I got sidetracked. If you use in the donation comment during my block, hashtag VOG Network, VOG Network, the hashtags don't get read on the air in Super Secret Club. That's how the runners community get their donations read more often, as they include a hashtag. So that's going to be the hashtag I will tell them to look for. But don't put any inside jokes, because if they don't understand the inside joke, they don't let it through. So.
All right. I really wanted the cat's name to get read, but that's all right.
I know, but I mean, maybe if you try again, I don't know, like if this is your second donation, if it's a little better, because they do keep track of that stuff. But maybe. But
We'll see. We'll see. It's about the charity. It's not about me. So.
Yeah. All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. Here in this this year of 2020, the next time we speak, it's going to be 2021, and let's try to make it as good as we can in 2021. So I will be back next year, or really next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Come join us and interact with the chat show directly. Please, hopefully you will be here, since it's a chat room. Hopefully you will have all 10 fingers, or if you currently have 10 fingers, hopefully you still have all the same body parts next year that you do this year. In other words, if you're going to play with fireworks, please do so safely. Do not be a headline. So whatever extremities you have now, I hope you have all of them next Sunday night. Please. Be good about that. Even this is when we celebrate the birth of our world by blowing a piece of it up. I understand, but I want to see you next year. So you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf, Instagram BobbyBlackWolf, Twitch BobbyBlackWolf, or starting next week, twitch.tv/GamesDoneQuick on Wednesday and Friday night. But also you can join our Discord, vognetwork.com/discord, throughout the week. And when I am on Games Done Quick, we will be hosting it on the VOG Network Twitch channel. There will probably even be people in the VOG Network Twitch chat, so you can actually talk there, because the Games Done Quick channel is for subscribers only. It moves pretty quickly. So if you want to just talk, I'll even have that open and kind of, you know, be in there when I'm not working and trying to read donations. So if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters, and the very generous chatters that have donated or followed or anything during tonight's show. So thank you so much for the follow, KaroCCS1. Thank you so much. Fifth Dream resubscribed. He did it for 21 months. He says 21 months went by so fast. Feels like just 21. And then, Loki resubscribed as well. So thank you so much for the resubscriptions. And remember, we do actually have a shop, vognetwork.com/shop. You can get stickers, shirts, coffee mug, with my logo on it if you really want it. That also supports VOG Network, and everything goes back into making the shows better. I'm going to hit the button so I shut up and stop talking. That's the one right there. All right. So have a happy, safe rest of the year. Wash your hands. Wear a mask. Be very careful with the fireworks. And I'll see you next year. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.